Freddie Foxtrot. Good on you, Steve. Enjoy today, mate.
I will enjoy it for sure and soon. Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, mate. Steve Hewler joining us on Racing HQ on a Saturday. Very shortly, we'll get to Ron Duffacy and Mike Fraser, then just moments away, and we've got plenty of good interviews coming up in the hour. Brett Devine, I think, is online now from the Australian too. All right, we're just in the process of getting Brett. I'm just checking Moonee Valley scratchings just to see if anything has filtered through yet for today. And the only one that has is Limestone. That race for number one is the only extra that's come through for Moonee Valley. We'll keep an eye on those with all those feature races that they've got there today. Brett Devine from the Australian Turf Club. Brett, a huge day, and we urge people not to sit at home, but to get to the races and enjoy watching the local stuff plus Winks.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Good morning to all the punters. That's exactly right. The atmosphere out at Randwick has been fantastic for the last five weeks or so, and it'll just be the same out there today. Look, she's Sydney's own Mighty Mare, isn't she? But the whole world will be watching her. You won't be spoiled for choice with all those TVs spread right across the race course, and of course the big screen in the middle there at the infield. So, Andrew, look, we're all set up for another big day of racing. We've got the Sydney Loves Winks Day. There's all the action on the screen, of course, but you can buy stubby holders, caps, get a chance out there to really soak up the atmosphere on another super spring day. Look, for members, 10:45, the gates open. For the general public, 11 o'clock, and there's something for everyone out there today.
There is, and look, there's nothing like being amongst a big crowd. If she looms up at the 600 and she's there and she's going to do it, there'll be one hell of a roar all around Australia, Brett, and it's just the place to be.
Yeah, look, I'm sure there will be, Andrew. As I say, there's plenty of room out there. We've got everything still set up, obviously, all the way through the spring carnival, the pop-up bars, the restaurants. Great value for money out at the race course. A little tick to members today. Look, even the light and mid-strength beer is even cheaper out there for members for the first few hours. So get into your positions. Free transport, of course, included in your ticket prices or if you're an ATC member. So no reason not to get out. It's beautiful weather. Navesh and the team have done an amazing job with those tracks after so many weeks. And we can't wait till 5 o'clock and all the racing ahead of it.
Yeah, exactly. Good on you, mate. We'll talk to you later in the morning.
Thanks, Andrew. Good luck to all the punters.
Brett Devine there from the Australian Turf Club.
Racing HQ is brought to you by TAB. Bet you'd love a $100,000 projected Big Six pool at Royal Randwick today. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly. Sky Sports Radio now presents Racing HQ, setting up your racing day with race news, interviews, track reports, previews and TAB markets.
Yes, welcome to those that may be just waking up at 7 o'clock on a Saturday. It's a special Saturday. Will it be a history-making Saturday? Will Winks equal the great Kingston Town on winning three Cox Plates at Moonee Valley? The race jumps at 5 o'clock. We'll bring you all the in-depth interviews and the coverage right through the day here on Sky. At Moonee Valley, they haven't watered. They've had a little bit of rain, 1 millimetre. Track's a good 3. Penetrometer 4.48, and the rail stays in the true for Moonee Valley today. For us at Randwick, it's a soft 7, chance of an upgrade early. Penetrometer 5.79. Kembla Grange, it's a good 4 with a fine day there. Doomben starts a soft 7 and a chance of an upgrade quite early there in Brisbane with a top of 30 degrees. But what a magical day it hopefully will end up for Australian racing and Australian sporting history. And Ron Duffacy is a part of our Racing HQ team. Morning to you, Ron.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Really looking forward to today at Randwick. The weather's cleared. We're on an improving track. I think we may get a bit of even a shock with that track. And yeah, and what about the drama from last night? Wow, there was some theatre there at Moonee Valley with the scratching of Chautauqua and whatever. So, and obviously, it's Winks Day with the Cox Plate. She's trying to equal history there with Kingston Town, winning her third Cox Plate. Unbackable odds. Let's just cheer her home.
Ron Haydock come across and led them up and kicked and held off in her time. Vega Magic dropped out after sitting second there. The drama was before the race with Chautauqua, and then it unfolded in the protest, second against first. for Corey Brown, protesting for interference shortly after the start. How did you see the protest first up, mate?
No, the protest never had a hope, Andrew. It was just a little bit of a little bit of crowding caused by Haydock coming on cross of Vega Magic. He was the one that suffered the interference there. So, there was nothing in that. It was definitely careless riding. There seemed to be a little bit of intent there, which I thought he got off a little bit light, Curry, but that seems to be the law of the land these days. You just get your 10 meetings or whatever, but I thought there was a little bit more in that one. And a terrific training performance by Tony McAvoy to realise, you know, this horse, we're going to get this horse back to sprinting. He took him back to the scene of the crime where he was unbeaten at Moonee Valley. And I heard earlier in the week he was going to be ridden quietly, so I don't know where that come from, him bounding out of the barrier and leading like that, because that was pretty unexpected to me. I may have missed something there.
Yeah, no, it was the way it... I think even Tony was surprised just how quick it did jump. Luke Curry did get 10 meetings for the interference early on in the race. Starts Monday, back on November 7. So he does miss 10 meetings. Let's bring in Mike Fraser. Mike, good morning to you as well.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Ronnie. Yeah, high drama there at Moonee Valley last night. I doubt, given the cantankerous mood Chautauqua was in when they were trying to vet him before he was officially scratched, I don't know that he would have raced that well. He looked fairly upset, Ronnie, before the race, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. It's not in his makeup. You know, he's just this cool, calm and collected character. I suppose once you get in that barrier and the adrenaline's happening, then they want to take you back out. And I don't know what the go is with that big tractor behind the barrier.
Yeah, exactly.
They've always got it started. You can hear it. And I don't know whether our tractors are on the inside of the tractor to cart them off, but, you know, being a 1,200-metre race, do they need the tractor there at that stage of the race? I don't know. Surely that's got to be looked at.
Exactly. Well, it was interesting because watching it, we all had the luxury of going back and watching it again, but, kicked out, did he actually hit the wheel?
Oh, I reckon he hit the tyre.
I reckon
he hit the tyre, and that might have jarred him. I'd say if that was what the damage was done. I think everyone was put off, and I think maybe Terry Bailey got the wrong information, because we were told that English got a leg up.
Yeah.
And we thought, oh, well, if anything's going to come out, it's English. And then all of a sudden they say Chautauqua's out and English is right. But I think that was a little bit of misinformation. So I think we can really understand it now. He had his leg up, he's come out, he's got agitated, but then all of a sudden Dunn's getting back on, he's right to run, and then all of a sudden he's scratched. It was just so much confusion there, which riled a few people.
Yeah, it did. You could hear, actually, the roar once...
there was a boo.
When Terry was announcing it, there was one relief boo, and then there was a one relief noise, and then when he announced it out, there was another boo.
Yeah.
Mike, it was fascinating there before the race.
Yeah, well, it looked a tiny bit dangerous, as Ronnie pointed out, with that tractor tyre there. But anyway, let's hope that all goes according to plan today for the Mighty Mare.
Yep.
She's chasing history, as you said. And back here at Randwick today, we've got a very interesting card. We've got a few short price favourites, but to my way of thinking, I think that a lot of these races are quite deep with the number of chances. We've got a 9-metre rail. We're chasing our fifth meeting in a row. I walked the track yesterday afternoon around about 3 o'clock. And officially then it was a heavy 8, and Nevesh was looking to upgrade it to a 7. Now, I suspect today it'll play closer to a 5, could even be a shade better. I know they had a tiny bit of rain on it last night, and there was a dew this morning, but believe me, yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock, that track was going to play as a dead 5. Now, because they've had a little bit of rain there, the jocks are going to want to get away from the fence, unfortunately. It's just a little bit softer on the rail with the back in the normal position. You want to get, you know, 5-6 horses out in the straight. From the 1,000 to the home turn, fence is perfect. I think that's probably the best place to be. It's the shortest way home. Nice little pad of grass there on the inside. So just you can stick to the fence to the turn and then just get, you know, 4 or 5 horses off in the straight. And from there out, it's all pretty even. So, look, that sort of racing generally leads to every horse having its chance, but they've just got to be aware that they just want to get a little bit away from the fence in the straight.
Yeah, as we told you, the rail in the true for the first time since September 30. It was the 9-metre mark last week, so back into the true, and we'll keep an eye on that track rating at the moment. It's a soft 7. Adrian Botts online to discuss everything that's going on within his and Gay Waterhouse's stable. Morning to you, Adrian.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well, mate. We've just been discussing last night with the Manicato. In the stewards' report, it reads English, after being loaded in its starting stall, became fractious and after undergoing a vet's examination was passed suitable to race. Apart from maybe losing in a near four plate, no explanation last night. How is she a few hours later?
Yeah, look, the mare's pulled up fine. Look, bit of a messy race for us. But look, that's probably just going to cause us to pull up stumps now this campaign, and we'll put her away, give her a good break now, and really focus on the autumn.
Okay. Well, at least she's okay. That's the main thing as people wake up this morning. Righto, Ron.
Adrian, this horse Stonebrook, he looks pretty good. He's, you know, he's what is he, four straight now? He's heading in the right direction.
He certainly is. Look, I don't think we've got anywhere near the bottom of him yet, so I'd like to think there's still plenty of upside, and I hope that he can continue on his continue his winning streak. It looks a nice race for him. I was very pleased to see that the rating that they put up with the track. I was fearful that it was going to be quite heavy today, and just the prospect of it improving throughout the day, sort of very pleased at that. In saying that, we took him to Canterbury early in the week, and the track was very, very heavy that morning for the rain we got over the weekend, and he got through it very well. So not concerned by the soft seven put up. I think he'll handle it well, and as I said, he's still got plenty of improvement there, and hopefully we've got a lot more to see from his horse going forward.
Okay, so he always shows you this sort of ability.
He has. Look, he's shown it all the way through and been very patient. And look, I guess every time he stepped out, he's, even sort of his first couple of starts, he just wanted to do a few things wrong, but he's still good enough to get everything done and just win on raw ability. So, he's shown it all the way through, and it's just pleasing to see him continue to take those next steps.
And with his racing style, you wouldn't think 1550 back to 1400 with these conditions will worry him today?
No, not at all. Look, I guess it's, a 1550 round Canterbury sort of, can be a little bit softer at times. So back to the 14, we're not concerned. He's got that good cruising speed and make it a good, strong 1400 metres for us. After today, I think we can look at stretching him out again. Obviously, I think the mile's probably his best trip. But look, it wouldn't. Wouldn't be surprising to see him step over a little bit further as well.
Race 7, Audacious Choice. Well, she's won two of her past three. I know in easier company, but she's got a nice little racing style herself.
Yeah, she puts herself on pace and, sort of takes all the luck out of the equation. She's a good, tough, honest mare, and, she's thrived since we've been able to stretch her out and trip. So I don't think she'll mind the sting out of the ground today. I think that'll really suit her. We have thrown her in the deep end here a bit, sort of a sharp step up in class, but she deserves her opportunity. We're hoping we can test her over some stronger company in time to come. So this is just a bit of a test for her today, and we'll see exactly where we're at.
A couple of very interesting runners in race 8, Supply and Demand. Well, he was just amazing last preparation. He resumes off four straight wins, and I think a lot of people were taken with his barrier trial leading into this race.
Yeah, he's absolutely, he's been phenomenal last preparation, so much time for this horse, and he's come back in great order. We were contemplating what to do with him at the end of the last campaign if we had enough horse left to see through the spring carnival. We opted to just give him a short break. He'd been up for a while and had done plenty, so I think he looks to have come back in fantastic order, and his trial just proved the amount of residual fitness that he had retained from last campaign, and he was nice and forward for that trial, and we threw in a couple of nominations for him for the Group 1 features over in Perth, so it's probably a little bit of a tight preparation to get over there, but we need to start him first off here, only off the back of a one trial and 1400 metres first up. So again, it's another one that probably pleased. The track wasn't too heavy today with probably would have been a big ask with the heavy 8 or 9 and the 60 kilos first up over the 1400 metres. But he is forward. He's done plenty of work and, been really happy with him. He does handle all surfaces and he's probably a lot more versatile than what people think. Looking back at his form, you'd probably expect when he finished the campaign over the
over the longer distances, but I'd say his form around the 14 and 1600 metres has certainly been very effective as well.
Your other horse here, Cabeza de Vaca, well, he won three from four last prep as well, so he resumes off a good prep.
He's coming to hand beautifully. I've got a lot of time for this horse going forward, and I think he can continue to be a very progressive horse for us. Probably will be a bit suited stepping out, a mile plus. They may be a bit sharp for him today, but in saying that, he gets in nicely at the weights with the after the claim for Rachel as well. And there's a lot to like about his trials, and he's coming to hand beautifully. He's one that, again, went to Canterbury during the week and had a gallop. He probably wasn't as effective through the heavier conditions as a horse like Supply and Demand and Stonebrook. So it'll be interesting just to see how the track pans out for him. But, he's one that will continue to improve throughout the preparation, one to really keep an eye on, particularly once he can get over a mile.
And a couple of runners at Moonee Valley, Setsuna. How's she arrived? She was tough in the gym crack.
Huge run of the gym crack. She had to sit wide on pace, three wide on pace. She gave a good kick and, only run down in the final strides. But even when she was, challenged a fair way out from home, she really responded well and just showed how tenacious she is. And she's taken it all before coming down to Melbourne. So hopefully we can see a similar run to that. And if she holds that form, she'll run a big race and be very hard to beat, I would have thought.
Race 5, Sava Pinsky. Well, she's an improving Sava Bill mare. She overachieved in the Yanks. She went great.
Yeah, look, to tell you the truth, that run didn't surprise us. She'd been showing plenty of potential at home, and even though we'd just been taking her along quietly and sort of taking her through the provincial grade, she was certainly always showing a lot more promise than just a provincial mare. So we were able to find the right conditions and throw in that mare's grade at the mile, and she ran accordingly. So she's one that will, get a lot further. We've got a race like the Matriarch in store for her, and I think that'll be a beautiful race for her at the end of the carnival. But she looks well placed here, and her work on Tuesday morning around Moonee Valley was excellent. I'd like to think she's excellent value today, and one of our better chances for the date.
And you got Cis Montaigne in the Moonee Valley Cup. He was pretty tough at the St. Ledger.
Yeah, he was excellent. We made a couple of gear changes that may have been the key with him. He was able to relax and settle, and he just got into a beautiful rhythm. And he stuck on really well on the St. Ledger. So travels back down to Moonee Valley where he's won previously. He's the horse looks in fantastic order at present. He's racing well, and I think with a similar sort of form line through his previous race, I think he can run another consistent race for us.
Hey, can I just come back? I jumped my page there. Dark Eyes in the last in Sydney. Much better second up.
Yeah, much better second up. A huge improvement. He's just taken takes a little bit of racing now to get him, his peak fitness up. But I think he's improved again, and just seen a bit of a change in him and in his work this week. So really happy with where he's at going into the run. Again, another one that if it was the heavy conditions, we probably weren't as keen on his chances, but been more upbeat with the prospect of an improving track. And he has run really well at Randwick on a soft seven before over the 2000. So he's coming to hand nicely at the right time, and I think he'll run a very good and honest race for us today.
Beautiful.
Adrian Pino heading towards the Oaks, all good?
Yeah, Adrian's excellent with her. She's in really good shape, and Gay and I just went and watched her this morning, worked around nicely at Flemington, and still undecided the exact path to the Oaks, whether we'll run in the Wakeful or not. But at this stage, we'll head towards that race and make our decision sort of closer to the date, but she couldn't be pleasing us more.
Yeah, fantastic. Good luck today, mate, in both places.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Adrian. Adrian Bott, these two in race number 8, Ron, and Mike, I'll bring you into this. Supply and Demand and Cabeza de Vaca, they're coming off enormous preparations last time, aren't they, Mike?
Well, they certainly are. I think Supply and Demand, obviously, looking for, a little bit further and does get a lot fitter with racing. There's no doubt about that. The other one down the bottom, I'm just getting my computer up here.
Kapesa Devaka, number 16.
Yeah, another one that probably could react a little bit more on the fresh side today than supply and demand. Obviously, as I said, also looking for ground, but has been good, was good last prep, winning at Wyong and Rose Hill, similar distance to this, so I could see it being competitive today. What about you, Ron?
I'm interested. I love horses resuming off wins and after going out a happy horse.
Yeah, exactly.
Although this race is anything goes here. This is a really interesting race. I haven't got them in the selections, but it'd be no surprise if they stuck their head in the frame there.
Righto. Only extra scratching this morning so far for Randwick is Leamy Astray, race 6, number 11. Everything else has come out in the last couple of days. But the only scratching at this stage for this morning is Leamy Astray, race 6, number 11. Joe Pride is online now on Racing HQ. Morning to you, Joe.
Good morning.
Improving track is probably, you're going to run them all?
Yes. Yeah, and I'll send them all four around today. And, I'd be very hopeful the track plays well today.
You're resuming, well, first run for you, Tactical Advantage. He's had two nice soft trials. What's your impression of the horse, Joe?
Yeah, got a good impression of the horse. He's a lovely horse to work with, and certainly any horse can sort of win 5 out of 10 to start their careers. Got to have a fair bit of ability. Everything he's done for me here has been pretty much spot on, and it's nice to be able to start him off in sort of the lowest possible grade and over a short trip where he should be hitting the line really hard.
Yeah, 1,000 metres, 60.5 kilos is you're comfortable with that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no. I couldn't have. The race just fell perfectly for him, I thought. So it's a nice start point for him, and he's a classy horse, and I certainly wouldn't think the 60.5 would stop him.
Race 5, Gamblestown, a trial since his last run. He's a big gross sort of horse.
He is. Yeah, look, he ran an improved race, albeit in an open down at Canberra, but it was an improved run under a big weight. So I feel like he's sort of edging his way back towards what he's capable of, and he is a capable horse on his day. Bit of a wait and see today as to whether, he can sort of continue on with a good form.
Passage of time in that as well. He was good first up and very competitive race last time. Third up, maps well. I thought he had a chance of beating this favourite.
Definitely. I think we've got to consider that first up run was excellent and maybe just took a little bit out of the horse. He ran in a really hot form race the other day and he just didn't seem to have that same sort of ping at the end of his race. But certainly up to 14, been watching sort of Stonebrook sort of dictating races. I don't think we'll hopefully try and take that away from him today. And once you do that, it opens the race up a little bit more. My horse is in terrific order, likes the soft, and I think he'd be very competitive there.
And New Tipperary, well, he was wide staying at 1,400 last time. This looks a more suitable race.
Yeah, definitely. Step up to the 1,800, just sort of nothing went his way last time. Pretty average ride, and he'll be ridden quietly today and just looking for one crack at them. He was a horse I would have considered pulling him out if it was wet, but this track improves into a sort of a 5 or 6 range, so it's certainly no problem for him. And 1,800 spot on.
Beautiful.
All right. They're all genuine, mate. You'd be excited about getting Tactical Advantage there for its first run. Good luck with them.
Great. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Pride going through them. Passage of time, pretty highly thought of there, just listening to that, Ron and Mike, up against Stonebrook. What's your thoughts, Duff?
I think he's the best gamble of the day. I do. I just feel that everything's nice for him today. He's third up, 1,400. The favourites might be very good, but I just, odds on and $5, I think there's an opportunity to bet there. I just think the race is a little bit closer than that today.
What do you think, Mike?
Well, I think he's the only thing he's got to do, he's got to tick the 1,400 box. He's yet to do that. Obviously, he only had limited race starts. He's only having his 8th race start today. But he was beaten at his second start over 1,350, and then he ran 4th in a 1,400-metre race as a 7-4 chance at Rose Hill. So that's my only query. But from Barrier 1 with Schofield on board, he knows the horse really well. He's certainly going to get the right run and gets his chance to run the trip, I thought.
Interesting thoughts there from Joe. Stonebrook's been able to get out there and control, but it sounds like that may not be the case today, Duff.
Yeah, that was interesting. Maybe he thought he was going to make him work to get across him to start with, but don't know whether I want to get into a fight with one of Gaze in a race, especially a horse coming back from 1550. But Jono's, he'll have it. He's a form man. He'll have a tactic worked out in the back of his head.
For sure. A couple of extras for Randwick. Ball Market has come out of the first. Race one, number six for Peter and Paul Snowden. And Tumultuous has come out of the seventh. Race seven, number 10. So there are a couple of extras. Tony, hang on a sec. Yeah, he's been up all night. He's been to the party places in Melbourne. He bounced into track work. And now he hears right here on the Sky is Tony McAvoy. Well done, Tone.
Thank you, Andrew.
you used to do that, not these days, mate.
No, not these days, Andrew. Not these days. The 4 hours sleep was very nice, but not enough, of course.
Tone, big result last night.
Yeah, thanks, Ronnie. Really good. He's a very brave horse. He's a good horse, and I was a little bit in the wilderness with him. I didn't quite know where we should turn after what he did to us in the McAvee Diva, and we decided to freshen and go back to sprinting, and I think that's probably what he is, Ron. He's a Group 1 winner at a mile, but it was in his protected three-year-old days, Group Barrier 1, box seat run. Tempo was good and he relaxed, but he doesn't quite have tactical speed at that trip, so we came back to the 1200.
So, Tony, just on that, you made the decision off the previous run. You sent him back home, you put him in a paddock at Angaston, and you just freshen up. Was it as simple as that with him?
Yeah, it was, Andrew, because he'd had, when you train him up for a race like the McAvee Diva, you have them as screwed down as you can, and I thought I'd train him really well for the McAvee Diva, and I was very disappointed in his race day manner that day. So we just took him home, and I knew his fitness was there, so we just got to work on his head and out in a beautiful grass paddock and having a lead off the pony and a swim and a walk and basically no fast work, and he really freshened up beautifully.
Was it always the plan to press the button from that wide draw and go forward?
Ron, we thought we'd be in the first four. But then Luke had to make a decision. When Vega Magic missed the start or was slow to begin, it sort of changed. It sort of forced Luke to make a call, and he had enough faith in his horse to press on because he knew he had that residual fitness under him.
Can you cause another upset today with this three-year-old? He seems to be the only sort of X-factor horse in this race.
Well, I enjoyed the one last night. I'd like to do it again. Yes. look, probably not, Ronnie. I mean, I've got the same amount of respect for that mare as everybody has, and she'd have to have a very, very, very bad day for that to change. But look, I'm very excited to have my colt there. He was lovely and bright this morning. He just stretched his legs this morning, and these three-year-olds, it's a different pressure race, and I don't know how my boy's going to handle the pressure because it starts early, as you know, in this race. But I'm very pleased to have him there, and I think he'll love 2,000 metres, and we'll learn a lot about our colt today.
Does he relax, this horse? Is he still work in progress, or is he pretty mentally right?
No, I think he's still getting there, Ron. He's always stepped a little bit slow from the gate, although last start he began a bit better. He hits a flat spot when they quicken, but that can be a little bit tempo-related too. A couple of the races he's been in have been run like that. But, look, he is still learning, and that makes me nervous coming into a Cox Plate where your race day manner has got to be impeccable. So, but they're learning all the time, and when the penny drops, it can drop very quickly, as we've seen with So You Think, and I've seen the Fields of Omar. He couldn't work it out, and then he won eight straight. And so that can happen, and I think my horse is getting there.
If he happened to come, run first three or four or five even today, would you consider running him in the Derby?
That's the race I'd like to run him in, Ron. I think that's his race. I mean, his page backs it up. Every race he's run in, his last 100 metres has been the best of his race. I think he's as good as the three-year-olds that are out there, and when you're in that protected three-year-old bracket, I think you've got to take advantage of it, and I would love to run him at the Derby.
Okay. Two-year-old in the first, this Feroz, won a trial. She, what do you make of her?
Yeah, she's a nice filly. She's I'm very comfortable that she's in the race. She goes very well, Ron. I've got my two-year-olds have been really good for me this year, and the benchmark is strong that I've got, and she's held her own very well. So I expect her. She's very professional. I expect her to do everything correctly, and she'll. They'll know she's in the race, I can assure you.
Race four, Ramuz, was her best run was here first up. Can she find that form?
I hope so, Ron. Signs are good. Her second up run at Flemington was terrible. I took her to Caulfield. She was very ordinary again. I think she was just feeling the firm ground, not only in the races, but in training as well, Ron. So I've decided to change her training, and she seems happier. I've taken quite a bit of pressure off her. And because, you know, I was still considering going to a Caulfield Guineas with her, and I was still, we were training her on quite strong. So I've elected to go the other way, and she seems happier with that. So I'm hopeful she can run better. It's a very sticky gate there today. It's going to be very awkward for us. You're going to have to be patient and reliant on the tempo.
Mintha, race seven. She was 1,200 to a mile last time. Now that she's had a run at this distance, she could shape up.
Yeah, look, it was a very confusing race for me, that run. She was a bit flat and a bit dour, and I just wonder whether that run chasing Hootson just might have taken the edge off her, and I trained her up a little bit to go to the mile third up. So, but it was a funny run race also, that 1,080. They went very steady, and they went home very fast. So, look, I've tinkered around with her training as well. She seems really bright and well. She went to the beach yesterday, and she's right on top of her game again. So I'd expect her, I think she'll really appreciate the drop down a peg, and I expect her to run very well.
Found this an interesting horse, Kowler. I'm no guy that he's Aussie debut.
No, he's not that fond of Australians. What happened to him at Caulfield, I think he was going to run a solid race too, Ron. I think he was going to hold his spot there, and then he got it all taken away from him. So, yeah, look, I'm learning about him. I've decided just to keep him fresh after that ordeal. I didn't feel that it was the right thing to do to put him under more pressure. So we've come back to the mile, drop it down a bit in grade, of course. And he had a look at Mooney Valley the other day, and he seemed really good there, just having a bit of a cruise around. So he's a good galloper. He's got form around Folkswood, the horse that's running in the Cox Plate. He's beaten him before, so... he's a good horse. I know he's a good horse, and so I'm just looking forward to him finding some form in Australia.
Okay, what can we say? Well done, and good luck.
Well, thank you very much, Ron.
The only question I've got to ask, we've got all sorts of markets open on Winks and everything like that, but a new market has been placed up overnight, Tony, on what colour suit Tony McAvoy is going to wear today after wearing what was it, the hot mustard last night?
Well, it'll be fine when that comes back in, Andrew. I just overrushed a little bit. I thought it was back in, but it's very big in Streaky Bay, but it just hasn't got to the rest of the place yet.
It's very lucky, though, now. It's your lucky suit. You're putting in cotton wool.
I've been told this morning, I don't do Twitter, but I've been told that the Twitter field went mad. So what am I doing? I might back it up and just wear it again today.
Well, I was going to say, I'm surprised you didn't send it to an overnight dry cleaners.
thank you, fellas.
Thanks, mate. Good luck. Tony McAvoy there. He's got Royal Symphony lining up after winning the Group 1 Manicato last night. We're going to take a little break. Joe Pride, Ty England. Ty England's still on the way, and not far away are the scratchings. Gambler's Blues has come out of race five, number 9, Gambler's Blues. But hopefully by the time we come back, they'll be interim. This is Racing HQ on a race day at Randwick, and of course, Cox Plate Day at Moonee Valley.
Sky Sports Radio is proud to be associated with Racing New South Wales and the Australian Turf Club in bringing you racing's memorable spring moments.
Trapeze Artist running down the outside.
Every week has been jam-packed full of memories.
Trapeze Artist down to the 100. He's starting to extend away. Here's a big win in the Golden Rose for Trapeze Artist in Ty England. What a win.
Oh, very excited. First time I've ridden him, and we got on to Minari's back and a long way out, so... Big cheerio to my girls at home.
I've been saying 2 weeks this horse has been flying under the radar. He's only been named at one race and one race only, and he's done it today.
Group 1 Racing. Group 1 Jockeys on Group 1 Horses. Sky Sports Radio.
If you love a bet this Cox Plate Day, then we bet you'll love TAB's great offers on all Group 1 and Group 2 races too. That's five races at the Valley. TAB, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Sydney Trucks and Machinery Centre is a tradie's dream. They're out near Narellan at Smeaton Grange. It's a trip worth taking. Their Iveco Daily range offers outstanding fuel economy, turbo diesel engine and bigger payloads, so you'll get your job done quicker. For a limited time, buy any new Iveco Daily van or cab chassis, and on top of the 3-year 200,000k warranty, you'll score an extra year's warranty absolutely free. For more Iveco deals, visit stmc.com.au.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian offer the opportunity to own and race the half-brother to champion three-year-old Whoby Got You. Our colt is by sensational sire Fastnet Rock from Temple of Peace, a stakes place winner of three races. Whoby Got You was a dual Group 1 winner of 10 races, including the Alumba Stakes, Caulfield Guineas, and won over $3.25 million. Join the Dynamic Gay and Adrian team to race the Fastnet Rock half to Whoby Got You. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Racing HQ is brought to you by TAB. Bet you'd love a $100,000 projected Big Six pool at Royal Randwick today. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
It is Racing HQ previewing Randwick and Moonee Valley, of course. We've got the interim scratchings now for Randwick. We're starting on a soft seven. Plenty of sunshine, though, around the place, and they are saying a chance of an upgrade. But we're starting a seven with a peno of 5.79, and the rail back into the true for the meeting today. These are the interim scratchings. Race one, number three, Sparky Lad, and six, Ball Market, 3 and 6. Race two is clear. The third, number five, Pick Me Up, and 10, Rebel Miss, 5 and 10. Race, and that was really on the verge of scratching time, so Rebel Miss coming out. So out of the third, 5 and 10. Race four, number four, Last Try Wins, and 13, Napashini, 4 and 13. Race five at Randwick, 6, Timeless Prince, 9, Gambler's Blues, and 10, Wildflower, 6, 9 and 10. Race 6, number 2, Pick Me Up, and 11, Lead Me Astray, 2 and 11. Race 7, number 5, Wugok, and 10, Tumultuous, 5 and 10. Race 8, number 2, Japanese Me, 4, Hofgarten, and 15, Invincibile, 2, 4 and 15. And race 9, number 1, Emberley, 4, Man of His Word, and 12, Shalmaneser, 1, 4 and 12. So they're the interim scratchings, Duff. Not too bad. Most of them came out, I guess, what was it, Thursday into Friday?
Yeah, happy with that. I think we survived it okay, considering the circumstances. I think everyone's got the message that we're, it's not raining today, and we're, you know, we could get to a, you know, a five or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And as you said, Mike, after walking it yesterday, you're expecting, and I think the best said it earlier, a quick update here from a soft seven as we are right now.
100%. When I walked the track yesterday afternoon, I'd sort of done a lot of my form, and I'd sort of gravitated towards, you know, looking for the soft track performers, and I went and reassessed it for a couple of hours last night and sort of brought horses back into the mix that I'd sort of pushed out. So I think if you're on runners today that, you know, that like a bit of firmness underfoot, they're going to perform quite well. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, I worked on a wet track towards a 7 or an 8, and Michael texted me last night. I thought he was on the terps, but anyway, it's pretty late. I haven't adjusted as much.
Friday night.
Did you think I was trying to shiming you there, so, you know, get you to change your tip so you come up bad or something.
Yeah, well, I thought you were watching a few of them old Broncos grand final.
Thanks a lot.
Not on a Friday night, any other night, but not on a Friday night.
Of course, we're professionals, Andrew.
Moonee Valley, good three. No scratchings out of the obvious there. Limestone came out of this morning, so we'll get to that. Ty England's online on Racing HQ. Morning to you, Ty.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well, mate. Busy day at Randwick.
Yeah, it is a busy day. Had a full book last week, but rain came and washed me out. I ended up having a handful of scratches, but so far
only had a couple.
Yeah, exactly. And just before Ron delves into today, this time next week you'll be heading for Melbourne, and one of the key chances in the derby, aim high.
Ace high, mate. Really excited. Head down there, nice book of rides, got trapeze artists in the Coolmore. Probably my best book of rides I would have heading down to Spring Carnival.
Fantastic.
Hopefully a little bit of luck.
Yeah, exciting times. It's busy time for the jockeys now that these night meetings are starting up. Like you were busy last night and rode a winner or two, and you got to back up again today. It's tough. It's a big workload for jockeys now.
Yeah, it is. It is. I enjoy riding the night meeting, but probably the next morning takes a little bit of rocking to get you out of bed.
Yeah, for sure. Dagny, race two, Ty. Look, she's on a backup, and her sting out of the ground form is quite solid.
Yeah, she's been racing really well. Come into a nice gate, little backup, as you say. I think she's placed really good in this race.
I thought so in race three. 1,000 metres may just help him settle that little bit better.
Yeah, he's had a bit of a freshen up, and they've been, I haven't ridden him. I've watched. And, I think the 1,000 metres, he won't be on the bridle too strong during the early stages, and hopefully, he can run over top of them. He looks like a classy horse, but, tactical advantage, obviously, we all know how well he's been going. He comes into it first up, so, hopefully I can get him over the line for David.
Hot money in race four. You wouldn't know much about him, but he's 2 for 2 at 1,800, and he's third up now.
Yeah, I haven't ridden him. We've gone wide, but I'll just work forward from that gate and put him into the race. The 1,800 obviously suits him.
You've had a little bit to do with Reneged in the past, but just about whether he's sharp enough for this race.
Yeah, he's kind of was disappointing on a bit of a softy track, but he did that to me last time. The pole, and he just sort of does what he has to do, and he took a couple runs and then he started winning again. So listen, on his day, he's a pretty handy little horse, but runs into obviously a nice one of Gaze, but for me he's probably going to have to go the races and prove that he's back into it again this track.
To excess, it looks to be flying this preparation.
Yeah, can't fault him at all. Probably nearly should have won two starts back as well, so he would have been 3 for 3 this prep. So, he's come back a new horse. He's racing really well. He can tell a really good turn of foot. So, and the 1,200, I think it's just going to suit him even better. I'm really excited to see how well this horse is going to go.
Okay, so you got no issue at 1,200 with him?
No, not at all. I got off the pace in. You sort of go through his last two runs when I've ridden him, and he's got that turn of foot, but you don't want to go for him too quick because he gets himself a little bit unbalanced. He tries to go nearly too quick for himself. So I think the 12, you can just go through your gears that little bit better, and I reckon you'll see a nicer horse running right through the line.
Duke of Valentinois in race 8, I wouldn't think he'd be too far off from here.
No, I thought he ran well the other day. Obviously, we've got an awkward gate and he was post wide. It would obviously be a big advantage for me to find a little bit of cover for him. But he's got nice natural speed. I thought his run was full of merit. It's caught wide and he never really got there. He lost, they probably got away from him a little bit late, but that was first up. So second up, hopefully he improves a bit.
He looks a smart horse, this interlocutor.
Yeah, I really like him. Obviously, had a little bit of luck on him. He won really good first up, but then they took the race off us, and then, second up, he come out and proved it, how well he goes and blew him away. So, thing out of the track, I reckon it'll suit him, actually. He's just got that, galloping style where he flattens out. I like how he lowers his head, and, he wants to gallop, and, that makes my job easier when horses really enjoy their racing.
I don't know if he had anything to do with him last prep, but he just seems to be has more gait speed and travels better than this preparation.
Yeah, I did ride him last prep.
Yep.
I got on him second and third up, and we won both. Well, he ran second at Scone, but the winner got disqualified. But he was doing a little bit too much in middle stages of the race. He was running over further distances, but he just felt as if he wasn't relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And at Scone, I had to take off way too early just because of the pace of the race dropped out. And I was in an awkward position. He was going way too hard, so I had to give him a bit of clear room. But to his merit, he stuck on well. But I think he's a bit more relaxed. He's a bit more seasoned. He's had a prep over here, and he's going into his second prep here. And I don't know, there's just something a little bit classy about him that obviously I like and the punters really like as well. So... yeah, I'm excited to stick with him.
Do you think he'll be a real stay, a mile and a half, 2 miler next year, or is this his
game? Yeah, I'm enjoying it. You know, the team's just taking him through his grade slowly, and I'm tipping their iron off some pretty nice races next prep. So,
yeah.
You know, they're just letting him build confidence, win. You know, I would like to obviously see him win well again today.
Mm.
And then... yeah, who knows where they're going to go, but yeah, he can get a trip, no problem.
Beauty. Good luck today.
Good on
you,
Ty.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, mate. Ty England joining us there, going through them. Ron, you've just spoken about that horse. The stable sounds like they've always had a good opinion from John O'Shea's days to now.
Yeah, looked like they're one of those work in progress horses, and they haven't. I don't think they're getting too itchy. I think they're eyeing off next autumn and even maybe next spring with a horse like him. And I think he's been very well handled, just poking. Whether they have a late little dig at the spring in Melbourne, I'm not sure, or whether they've just got the big prize in mind over the autumn and maybe, like I said, this time next year.
Yeah, exactly. What a mare she is, Winx. Today, if she wins, she surpasses Maccabi Diva. Maccabi Diva, $14.5 million, 7 Group 1s, 3 Melbourne Cups. Winx has won $13.7 million to now with 14 Group 1s. As we know, if she wins today, she equals Black Caviar with 15 Group 1s. Sunline Ron, 13 Group 1s, Northerly 9. I mean, we're just talking this... They're just simply superstars.
Incredible horses. It's hard to, you know, put them together, but this mare today is just the modern-day phenomenon. She's just gets herself out of trouble, all distances, all track conditions. Let's hope she can get it done today for the good of racing. You know, she's captured everyone's attention. Mightn't be a betting proposition these days. But still, it's great to sit back and just watch her.
And watch her, exactly. James Cummings is our last interview guest of the morning. Morning to you, James.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. Big team in Melbourne. We've just been talking with Ty about Interlocutor, one that is this, you're reasonably new into the job, mate, but a really bright future.
Well, he's coming through his grades nicely, and he had a fair bit on that field last time. This is a right progression for him too, and I've got my feet on the ground with him. I just want to see him continue to put them together and improve as a horse, and just let him come to us. So I was happy to see him do everything right last time, and I'd like to see some consistency from him, and the boys are very happy with him between starts.
How far would you like to go through with him through the spring with him?
Oh, I think the low-hanging fruit looks good to me at this time of his career, and see how far we can go next time.
Okay. You've also got etymology in that. He's got a poor winning strike rate, but he's competed in the big stage throughout his career.
Yeah, I was really enthused by his first up run, and had aspirations of him getting back to those big performances at Set Weights Derbies and St Ledgers as a three-year-old, so brought him down to Melbourne. He proved to be about 5 lengths off those open company horses in 2 starts here. So he goes back to Sydney trying to find races that, you know, he can just take a little longer to find his feet in and hopefully get some confidence back. And I think that it's a nice race for him to finishing top 4 or 5 today to warm back into some form. And I'm sure we wouldn't be surprised to even see him challenging the winners at one point off the back of some very strong track work.
Ozark Race 3, he stays at 1,000. He never really got balanced last start.
No, he was badly blocked and the forgive run. We won't know whether or not he would have got there that day, but a jockey came in and told us he had plenty up his sleeve. It's just a messy race. He's a sharp customer, and he third up last time was I suppose, in hindsight, was as much as a barrier trial as anything, and he should give himself a good opportunity here. But I have a healthy respect for what's now no longer stable mate. It's going to be hard to beat that horse tactical advantage.
Yeah, you did like him. Vigilance, how good is she? She's 4 for 4. It's hard to gauge her.
Well, she strikes me as a horse that's not really a first up horse, and of course she was able to win on debut, but she's no longer at maiden level now. She's racing horses like First Hand. This is a relative quality field. So we've given her 3 trials, and a similar pattern to earlier in her career. She just takes a little bit of training, and she's just a bit of a she's slow to come to hand, really. But she seems to have responded and trialled nicely in her most recent public trial. I think that she can run a good race for us, but I can certainly see a lot of improvement to come.
How do we approach these 3 runners in race 8? Federal, Moa, Duke of Valentinois. How do we approach these 3 Godolphin horses?
Well, they didn't quite get the best of it from the draw, and perhaps won't be given any favours in the run. But I feel like, starting with Duke, our Scone Cup winner, his run was full of merit first up. He was wide throughout. He loomed up and just bottomed out the last 100, which was forgivable. Then you'd have to think that he could be running on strongly second up here. We raced Moa in an unsuitably strong weight for age race first up through lack of other options, targeting not only this race but other open handicaps coming up this time of year. He's been given a bit of time between runs, and trials kept his fitness up, and he looked good there to me. So he can also run a lot better than the unplaced effort first up suggests. And Federal, look, he doesn't have the worst first up record of any horse, but pretty interesting field that he's taking on. Horses like Takedown and Supply and Demand. These horses are going somewhere, and he'll have to be turning at a pretty strong level to be competitive, but there's improvement to come.
Melbourne, Badajoz in the second, going for 3 straight, back in distance.
Yeah, he's a sharp horse, and he likes to be kept fresh. I've seen good signs from him between starts, and it looks like things could unfold well for him, provided he gets luck at the right time. He just got the perfect split last time at Caulfield a month ago, and he showed a really good dash to win what was a strong race. We've found another suitable one for him.
Trekking, talented horse who maps well in race 3.
Yes. He needs to apply himself well today. He's been running good enough races against some strong horses earlier in the spring. We've held him back, eyeing off races like this and race during Cup Week, because we just felt like he's just a rung below our top 3-year-olds. And I think we've found a suitable race for the horse, provided he has a real dig today, and that's what I most like to see from the horse. Perhaps even ridden a little quieter. I'd like to be interested to hear Q's thoughts there. He might have just been a little bit close last time at Caulfield and negated his finish.
You're strong in race forward. Little Jorda, she's got a tricky draw here.
Yeah, she was also probably a little close in a strongly run 1,200 last time. Might be a better horse held up for a sharp sprint late. So that's going to form part of our approach today. but I think she also found, I think she bumped into a horse going really well last time, couldn't help but be impressed by the winner.
Yeah.
And that sort of broke her heart a little bit, otherwise she would have run a comfortable second. So she'll run on strongly from out there, provided the track plays suitably enough for the run on horses.
Talk about a horse going well, Demerara.
She's got a great ability to absorb pressure and keep finding. Great sign in a filly like her. She might have to do a little bit of work to punch forward, but she likes to assume a forward position in her races. And I think that she can run very well here. She looks great, and everything seems to have gone well for her this campaign. She proved herself against the older horses at the provincials. She proved herself at 1,200 straight to 1,000 last time, strong over the concluding stages. I think the horses finishing behind her have run well or won since then at a good level. So she comes into this race. Comes into the race with a fair bit of confidence, I would think.
I don't know whether I read you right. I saw a little Godolphin Twitter grab there yesterday. Were you leaning Jordan's way here?
Yeah, I just like the way the horse works every morning. But, it was a little bit like the year Pop Rock caught up in the Melbourne Cup. You know, the second horse beats it every time in the track gallops, and when you turn up on race day, they reverse the order. She just works very well, Jorda, at home. And perhaps ridden the right way, she could be getting over the top of a stablemate. But she'll have to work pretty hard concluding stages to get past Demerara, because she won't be easy to pass, I don't think.
Race 7, a couple of good runners. Banish, very good to the eye at Crampon, indicating the mile mightn't be an issue.
Yeah, she won against the bias there, and she's done that twice now this prep. She's been able to beat the older mares. She won't find a more lowly rated Group 2-3 off fillies race this season, I don't think. So gets a good opportunity to get some black type on the page, but you don't know how promising or how much potential some of her opposition might have, but she certainly is going the right way, is building a pretty good little record, and she looks like she's got the eye of the tiger this week, so I'm interested to see how she goes.
It's somewhat second, his first run at Moonee Valley.
Yeah, he's been spaced into this weight for age race. It's perfect for him to be back to weight for age after knocking up in a handicap for top weight Caulfield. This would be a really satisfying win, because we've sort of targeted this race for him for a while, gets conditions to suit. He can put himself right there. There does look to be a little bit of pressure in the race, but it somewhat doesn't mind that. You know, he seems to absorb the pressure pretty well, and his fitness has really it's really gone ahead. I think he's grown a leg since his first up run. So this will be a really good race for it somewhat.
And sanctioned better draw here could help him.
Yes, it will, and he needs to be running well against the top two in the market there to indicate to us that he's ready for next week. Got a healthy respect for Aloisa, won 1,000 guineas, of course, and she looks like she's racing up to a high level, such a high level so quickly. So Sanction's got a great platform to be running well over the mile and a quarter. Three ago, he's running great race behind Ace High and the Gloaming. I can see him running well here. Cliff's Edge is on the back up, and he's going to have that tough run under his belt from last week. Look, Extinction's running strongly against them. He's a live chance at the Derby next week, and he's not without a hope of winning this.
Beautiful.
Good on you, James. Thanks for your time this morning. Good luck today.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thanks, mate. James Cummings from Godolphin. Let's hook straight into the scratchings now, starting at Randwick. We're starting there on a soft 7 with fine weather, so an upgrade possible. Penetrometer 5.79 and the rail is true. Race 1 at Randwick, take out 3 Sparky Lad and 6 Bull Market, 3 and 6. The second is clear. Race 3, number 5, Pick Me Up and 10 Rebel Miss, 5 and 10. The fourth takeout, four last try wins, 13 Nabashini and 17 Motime the Emergency. So 4, 13 and 17 out of the fourth. Race 5 at Randwick, 6 Timeless Prince, 9 Gambler's Blues and 10 Wildflower, 6, 9 and 10. Race 6, number 2, Pick Me Up and 11 Lead Me Astray, 2 and 11. Race 7, 5 Wugok and 10 Tumultuous, 5 and 10. Race 8, 2 Japanese Me, 4 Hofgarden and 15 Invincibile, 2, 4 and 15. And race 9, 1 Emberley, 4 Man of His Word and 12 Shalmaneser.